I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway, and it's great to have you with us. Across the country, states are continuing to purge voters from their rolls in advance of the 2020 election. From 2016 to 2018, 17 million voters were pulled from state registration systems, and that's according to a report from the Brennan Center for Justice. In the past week alone, judges in Wisconsin and Georgia approved mass voter roll purges in their states. And in Wisconsin, 234,000 voters were ordered to be removed for failing to report their current address. In Georgia, roughly 313,000 voters could be removed from the state's rolls for failing to update their address and for not participating in an election in 7 years. With Republicans and Democrats gearing up for a 2020 fight where every vote counts, key states like Wisconsin and Georgia care more than ever about who's on their voter rolls. Joining me now are Mark Nisi, a Georgia government reporter at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and Mayon Silver, a reporter for WUWM in Milwaukee. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Great, thanks.
Mayon, let's start with you. In Wisconsin, we said that 230,000 voters could be removed from the state's voter rolls for not updating their addresses. The original date on this, however, was supposed to be in 2021. Why is it happening now? Who was behind that?
Yeah, so a conservative group filed a lawsuit. They're called the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Basically, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, every few years before an election, there's like a data matching process, and they see which voters may have moved because these voters interacted with maybe the DMV or the U.S. Postal Service. So they send out these letters, and they ask people to confirm their addresses. The Election Commission was giving up to 2021 for voters to do this because they didn't completely trust whether it was flagging the right people who had moved, whether everybody had actually moved. This actually happened before in the election cycle, before the February 2018 primary. And the Election Commission found that people were showing up at the polls and they hadn't moved, and then they were deactivated. So the Election Commission decided to be a little more conservative about it. It's a bipartisan commission made up of Republicans and Democrats, and they voted 5-1 to give these 2 years. So this conservative group didn't file a lawsuit back in 2018 during the midterms, but they decided to come forward now and say that they want to clean up the rolls and that Wisconsin has this statute that says that the voters should be deactivated after these mailings after 30 days instead of 2 years.
And Mark, in Georgia, the most recent voter purge, I should say, has been driven by something called the Use It or Lose It law. And that means if you haven't voted in 7 years, you're off the rolls. How does that work? How common is that?
Georgia is one of about 9 states that has this kind of law that removes voters for inactivity, no contact with election officials, or no participation in elections. And out of the more than 300,000 names that were removed from Georgia's voter registration list Monday night, the inactive voters made up nearly 120,000 of those.
Now, we know that Stacey Abrams was behind the effort to stop this voter roll purge in Georgia. Mark, on Monday, a judge said the purge could move forward, but then agreed to schedule more hearings on this later in the week. That just seems incongruent to me. What's happening there?
Well, there was a last-minute court effort to stop the cancellation process on Monday. It was scheduled to take place Monday night, and when we got into federal court on Monday, the judge asked both sides, well, what's the harm of me letting it go forward tonight? It's been planned for months and months. And if I find that some voters shouldn't have been removed, I can just order you to put those voters back on. But you're coming to me here with this last minute request, and the judge wanted more time to review it. So he allowed the cancellation process to go forward with the caveat that he'll hold another court hearing on Thursday and may decide that some of those voters that were canceled should be reactivated.
Mayon, in Wisconsin, who are the people that are most affected by these purges?
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a study on this particular purge, and they found that it would disproportionately affect Democratic urban areas. The letters went out to about 7% of Wisconsin's registered voters in the entire state, but they were concentrated in the areas of Milwaukee and Madison, which are the big urban areas. And the Journal Sentinel found that about 23% of the letters were sent to Milwaukee and Madison, even though it only accounts for 14% of registered voters.
And when you say urban areas, are we inferring there that those are largely communities of color or poor communities, or how does that break down?
Yes, they tend to be younger people in the urban areas, tend to move more often. There's a larger minority population. Wisconsin as a whole tends to be rather white and rural, and Milwaukee and Madison have a higher concentration of minority voters. In fact, Milwaukee is a majority minority city.
So, Mayan, how are people finding out about this? I mean, I'm assuming they're not getting a text message that's alerting them to the fact that they're about to be removed from the rolls. Is this still paper mail?
Yeah, so people are getting letters in the mail, and I talked to one voter who's actually a canvasser for a union, and she said that she got it in the mail, and she had moved, but she didn't know what it was. She didn't trust it. She didn't realize she had to re-register, and she actually said her grandmother got a letter and hadn't moved. She was very suspicious about it. There was an appeal recently filed by the Wisconsin Department of Justice on behalf of the Elections Commission in state court, but the League of Women Voters filed a federal lawsuit on Tuesday in federal court, and they're alleging that these letters are due process violations because they're not telling people exactly what's happening to them. They certainly didn't tell them that they had 30 days before they were going to be deactivated. And so there's going to be some battles in both federal and state court.
Mark, same questions for you over in Georgia. Who's most affected by these voter roll purges?
In Georgia, it's interesting, at least this year, that when you might have expected that there would be racial and geographic disparities, we haven't been able to detect those. In Georgia's cancellation list, the amount of voters being canceled is relatively consistent with their share of the voting population as a whole. So while many other examples of voting practices that change access to the polls, such as poll closures, for example, do have a racial impact, that isn't showing up in this year's cancellation process.
Let's talk about same-day registration, Mayan, because that seems to be what some groups are saying is the solution to all this. It won't disenfranchise. But how easy is it? What does the process look like for same-day registration?
Wisconsin enacted a fairly strict voter ID law in 2011. And since then, there's been some research on it. Basically, people have to show up at the polls with a photo ID and some sort of proof of residence. And, you know, some academics like Professor David Meyer from UW-Madison, they did research studying voter ID based on the 2016 elections. And they found that it did have an effect on voters, and it did impact voters, voters of color, voters in poverty, people that tend not to have access to be able to pay for the documentation, or who don't necessarily have a car, or who move more often from into Wisconsin from out of state. So, you know, it is something that is an issue, and it is affecting people, and people are saying that same-day registration is not necessarily a cure-all because what would have been a really easy show up to the polls is now something that is a bureaucratic hassle. The interesting thing is that sometimes conservative groups are saying that these measures are to prevent voter fraud in Wisconsin. And the Wisconsin Elections Commission says that from February 2018 to February 2019, it turned up 24 cases of suspected voter fraud out of 2.7 million votes cast in the November midterms. And the year before, there were 7 voter fraud cases. So this isn't something that's, you know, bearing out in the numbers.
Mark, same thing. A question to you. I mean, there are many obstacles, as you mentioned, in Georgia, including the closure of polling places, in addition to this sort of voter roll purge. But there are people in Georgia that say voting's easy. I mean, you have automatic voter registration. Is that the answer to this?
There are so many things going on with elections that both increase and limit access. And in general, more people are being added to Georgia's voting rolls than are being subtracted. And that is largely because of automatic voter registration. When people get their driver's licenses, they are automatically signed up to vote unless they opt out. And that is adding tremendous numbers of people to Georgia's voting rolls, about 500,000 in the last year and more than 350,000 the year before that. And that's largely because Georgia is a growing state. People are moving to Georgia and signing up to vote when they get their driver's licenses.
And I want to talk politics here in the remaining 2 minutes that we have in this segment. Mark, Democrats are saying, at least, that Georgia is showing signs of going blue for the first time in decades, which could indicate that this is politically motivated, these voter purges. How much truth is there to that?
It's hard to tell how politically motivated they are, but this has been the practice and law in Georgia for a number of years now. This method of canceling voters every other year is something that has been happening for years. It does seem like the numbers have risen in recent years, but this is not a new process.
And Mayan, in 2016, we know Trump won Wisconsin by less than 23,000 votes. It was not a landslide victory for the president. Talking politics over there, how does that play in here? Is this politically motivated, or could it be politically motivated as we head into 2020?
Trump, it was a very close race in 2016, and by all accounts, Wisconsin is going to be really, really close in 2020. That it's going to be, you know, there's a lot of different factors that are working in Wisconsin for Democrats. There's a growing population in diverse cities, but it's also home to a lot of white voters without a college degree. So, you know, basically this could take off tens of thousands of people who were wrongly flagged as movers. And they, you know, it could prevent people from getting to the polls. We don't know if it's, you know, we don't know how those people are necessarily going to vote or what their voting habits are. But, you know, even if people should have moved, you know, there are professors who say that it's not necessarily important to look at the numbers in the aggregate, that tens of thousands of people could be prevented from voting. It's if one person is prevented from getting to the polls, and that this is part of a systemic effort to prevent voting. It's not just the purge, it's voter ID, it's changes to the registration process, it's changes to student ID processes, redistricting, and that it's a systemic effort for a decade to make it more difficult to vote.
Mark, do you feel the same way about what's playing out in Georgia? Specifically has how it relates to what's going to happen in 2020.
We'll see what happens in 2020, but I do think that we'll see incredible turnout and incredible interest. There, the Secretary of State in Georgia predicted that turnout will exceed well over 5 million in 2020's presidential election. This is in a state that has just over 7 million registered voters, so that's very high turnout. And during last year's election for governor, too, we had record turnout for that election for a midterm. So there's high interest, people are involved, and it will be a very close and competitive race, I believe.
Mark Nisi is a Georgia government reporter at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and Mayan Silver is a reporter for WUWM in Milwaukee. Mark, Mayan, thanks to you both.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by Noom, offering a personalized weight loss program that uses psychology and small goals to change habits, with the goal of losing weight and keeping it off for good. Learn more at Noom, N-O-O-M.com.